On the line now, we have Daniel Libby, who was an eyewitness, and he experienced firsthand what it was to be downtown and detained. Hello, Daniel.
Word up, Robin.
Daniel, welcome to Monday Word of Mouth.
Yeah.
And tell us all about your experience from the beginning to the end.
Well, it was quite a weekend. It was quite a weekend, Robin. I'd say yesterday was definitely a very interesting end for an extreme weekend with this G20 in and this Public Works Protection Act that's apparently being enforced. They're saying the fences are going down. I know the leaders are already out of the country. The rest of the G20 has wrapped up. But yesterday, it seemed like at least the major media was focusing on an event that I was at. I was at firsthand at Spadina and Queen when, you know, there was a few hundred people were sealed off in a intersection.
Why were they sealed off at Spadina and Queen? It seems a bit far from any action.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is what happened. We were down at King and Bay. So we were right down where all the stuff had been smashed and the cars had been lit on fire on the day before, on Saturday, the violent day. But this was a peaceful day. And there was like a silent protest. There was like a religious protest going on. It was a really quiet one. They were just saying prayers and stuff and sitting around in a circle. And then there was another guy that was down there, Charlie Veach, who runs something on YouTube called The Love Police, or on the internet. He's sort of like a surrealist comedian street activist. He runs around with a microphone and says some pretty funny stuff. And so there was a bit of a battle down there at Queen and Bay, or King and Bay, between the quieter religious protest was trying to get him to quiet down. There's really a big crowd around this guy talking. So eventually the quiet protest walked away first, I think. And then they brought in more of the riot cops, surrounded the whole area of King and Bay, and made everyone march north. And I guess this was after there had been a big bike protest that had wrapped up. So I think a few people had biked down because I noticed there was people on bikes that had arrived. So maybe it was because there was getting bigger. So they made us march north, and we walked up to Queen Street, and then we were walking along where the City Hall is, and they kept on stopping. They kept on stopping the marching, the parade. And I guess it was because the streets had been open before this happened. And, you know, so everyone's just peacefully marching, and a few people have megaphones, which I know is a sketchy thing because I've even heard people on Saturday were being detained for speaking on things, a megaphone. But what was going on Sunday? I didn't see any violence. But the march, basically, they were sealing off areas. So they were like directing where people could march from King and Bay. So we got all the way to Queen and Spadina. And then it's like the march really slowed down, and then the most unruly or extreme form of protest that happened at Queen and Spadina that I saw was about 10, maybe 15 people sat down on the ground in the intersection.
Mm.
So that's the most extreme. That's why I'm surprised at how many reports I'm seeing in, like, the words in the media that there had been like violence going on yesterday, because I didn't see anything like that. I didn't see anybody in masks. What I did see was a lot more cops surrounding areas, even more than I'd seen on Saturday. Just to back up for a bit, when I got there on Sunday, before I went down to King and Bay, I actually went to Yonge and Dundas, and I saw there was cops on every corner, like groups of 20. There was at least 100, just riot cops holding down Yonge and Dundas, and I guess I could see how why that would happen with what happened on Yonge Street the day before, but that's what I kept on wondering. You know, where were these guys on Saturday?
Right.
On Yonge Street. But anyways, these guys definitely showed up at Queen and Spadina, because it was within, like, you know, 10, no, probably like 15 minutes of, it was just like, it slowed down right around Queen and Spadina, and it was enough time for a few buses. That's how all these riot cops, a lot of them had, like, different kind of emblems on their crest. You know, they were like Sudbury, York Region. There's every, you know, police force in Ontario seemed to have officers in riot gear there. And they were moving around the city in rented vans with a police sign on the side. Some of them were even just had budget like rental van, like it was a real rental van. Mm-hmm. And then also they had like buses, like Greyhound bus size buses. So they brought in one of those with like 100 or two of those, you know, a few hundred of these riot cops got off and sealed off the north side. See, the south side of Queen and Spadina was always sealed off when I got there, and so was the west side. But then they sealed off basically the east side and the north side at the same time, as the same time that they're telling us we have to go. We can't just be... They're like, you can't. You got to move, or you'll be arrested. Wow. And then people are just like, move.
Move where?
There's nowhere to go. There's right. They had blocked all exits.
Yeah.
And I just, I actually just uploaded a clip of this on YouTube. It's called G20 Toronto. There is no exit. And it just shows how they seal, how all four sides were sealed off. There was no way to leave. So this, you know, this is how the craziness. Of, and you know, there is some truth getting out, I think, in the media, that a large portion of the people in this weren't even there for the protest. They were local residents walking by, or people that were down there to, like, I guess some of the people had been taking pictures. There was a lot of like people taking pictures, but you know, there definitely wasn't that many cameras out when it started pouring rain. That was about an hour. That was an hour after they had detained us. Then it started, you know, pouring. So it did that. Then they had to stand out there for almost 3 hours. And randomly, they'd be pulling a few people out of the protest. And then it also seemed like people that would, like, voice their opinion or, you know, get, you know, aggressive way of speaking towards the cops would be arrested. And then there was all these rumors around that were like, we're all being detained, we're all going to be arrested. And then there was another, they were saying that everyone's going to be processed one by one. And, you know, that's, so I think that's why it took them so long, because it was one by one. And then also, I think, well, okay, this is sort of how it wrapped up, was the one announcement that came. This is after it had been like torrential downpour rain. It was sort of like a drizzle. It was still raining. And like one guy just says something. He doesn't even have a loudspeaker. So there was no, you know, like in, if you check out the Pittsburgh G20 clips from the one in 2009 in Pittsburgh, they had like loudspeakers going on, like announcing that the people had to evacuate or leave the area or else they'll be arrested. There was nothing like that. There was no announcement. There was no loudspeaker. So this guy doesn't even have a microphone or you know, a megaphone. He's just like yelling as loud as he can in the rain to this pen that had gotten smaller. With when it started to rain, they allowed people with children to leave, and they allowed like elderly, frail people to leave, and a few people had medical problems. They had to show their health card, and they were allowed to leave. And everyone else was like forced to stay there. And they, you know, it kept on getting smaller, and they like had us at the McDonald's, which was, you know, that's where another reason why I think this was sort of a setup as a media spectacle. And, you know, that was the one long shot that they kept showing live, is like just the McDonald's sign is right in square in the middle. And the helicopters had been hovering over before, but then they sort of stopped in the rain. And, you know, I had to put away my camera because it was raining so much. But, you know, there wasn't really much to get just because it was mostly just standing there. There wasn't even chanting. The only thing I saw that was close to a protest sign was like a cloth one. But the people, I couldn't read what it said because the people were using it to block the rain. Luckily, I brought a raincoat. A lot of people didn't have anything. I had an umbrella, too, and I gave it to two ladies that were standing beside me who didn't have anything. It was pretty crazy because there was no explanation when they said we could leave. They said, when the guy made this announcement that he yelled out, he goes, this is the only announcement he made, or there's two announcements. The first one he goes, he's like, I know you guys are angry, you guys are irritated out here, you guys are wet and you guys are cold. You guys could get hypothermia. So because of this, we're going to bring TTC buses that you can sit in, and we will process you all in the TTC buses. And then about 10 minutes later, and I could see the buses have been already parked up the street for like 10 to 15 minutes before he made this announcement, and they're empty buses. And then he comes back and he makes another announcement, and this one he makes further away, so I didn't even understand. I didn't get all of it, but I'm pretty sure it was so short that there was no explanation as to why. But he just goes, everyone can leave if you walk north, and anyone who stays will be arrested. So I was, like, in the last group, apparently, that was, like, left for processing, because I was on the far side, closer to, like, the McDonald's wall, was, like, the last people in that they just allowed to leave without any, without their processing. And I'm not even sure what their processing involved, a total search of everything you had, and then, I guess, ask you some questions, ID. I'm not sure if they were fingerprinting people, but they were... I've definitely saw them put in the they're not handcuffs, they're like those plastic twist tie things, and some of these people like definitely didn't look like they were there for a protest or that any kind of people that I'd see at a protest. It was crazy.
So they actually did process a lot of these people.
Yeah, and that's wow. As we were walking by. After it had ended, and I'm passing by those TTC buses that he had spoken of, there's a few people I could tell their arms are behind their back, so I'm sure they were cuffed in the buses, and then there's a lot of the riot cops sitting in the buses, like they're out of the rain already. So I figured that was one of the reasons they let us all go, is because they didn't even have enough buses to fit everyone in that they had penned around, because they had so many people like already detained.
So they didn't,
you know, that's crazy. They're talking about hundreds they've detained, right?
Yes.
The whole weekend.
But they didn't say, you know, you were all here because of something. Like, what did you do?
No, I didn't find out about this until I went to the girl's house who lived like a few blocks away, literally a few blocks away. And she told the cops this a bunch of times, the girls that I lent my umbrella to. And then we were watching like clips on, we were reading stuff on the news, on the internet and stuff. You know, that's when we found out that there had been two. Okay, this is what we found out, that they said that there was two other protests marching towards the Queen and Spadina intersection, one from the west and one from the east, and that they were. That's why they sealed it off, was because they were worried that that it would grow into a huge protest with these other protests coming towards it. I definitely saw that they were sealing off the other side of Queen Street, but I didn't see the protest. I have seen one clip already, though, on YouTube. It's a pretty crazy clip. It's like, I guess it was from the people that had been marching from the east end of Queen Street towards where we're all penned off, and they're like singing O Canada, and then right after the song ends, O Canada, it's just like the riot cops charge them.
That's right. Running. I saw that.
You've seen
YouTube.
That one.
Right.
That shows that they can run. That's the whole thing I was thinking about on Saturday, was like, how did this all happen? And I'm like, well, it's probably just because, like, why were all of these riot cops just standing there while all this stuff's being smashed? And I'm like, well, it's probably just because they can't run. Like, the Black Bloc can move so fast if they're running around.
Right.
But the cops are like, with all this gear, they can't run. But these guys could run in that clip, right?
Yeah, they ran fast.
They're running.
Yep.
But not only that, they had these platoons or troops of bike patrol. They're dressed all in black with like a red armband, biking around. There would be those guys biking around, And then I told you about as well about the vans, the police vans.
Yeah.
So they definitely had modes of transportation. So I am a bit skeptical at all this stuff. Like, not as extreme as the caller that called in before.
Yeah. Who was very upset about the black bloc, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm upset about the black bloc, but I'm also upset at the police. And I've got a clip up, the clip I posted yesterday on YouTube, and it got on, it's got close to 6,000 views now, and it's me showing, as I was walking up University, I didn't know quite, no, I walked up Queen Street in the aftermath of the black bloc. It just smashed everything. And then I walked up University, so I didn't know they're like running up Yonge Street or anything. The stuff that happened at where there's like a car on fire,
right.
So I found out from some like old guy biked by saying right. He's listening on the radio. He's like, I was listening to my radio. I heard there's a car on fire, and I'm like, right. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
And then I start walking up University,
yeah.
And then I see as the black bloc guys are walking towards Queen's Park.
Right.
And this is right before. This is like 15 to 20 minutes before they shut down the whole Queen's Park, which I had known as the free speech zone. I know the chief of police is saying it wasn't a free speech zone, but I know the media originally called it the free speech zone, and that's what I always thought Queen's Park would be, like a free speech zone.
Right.
But it was totally closed down after these so-called black bloc tactics.
Right.
So I'm walking up University, and south of college, as I'm walking up, like, the row of like 12 to 15 of those vans, police vans, pull up, each of them with like four like riot cops or like two riot cops into them. Some of them might have even had more because they were bigger vans. And across the street, there's just like one lone van sitting there. That's the clip I got. And then it's like as a black bloc passes, the van's getting smashed, and those guys are still parked across the street.
Not doing anything.
Yeah, and then the black bloc disperses. They smash this one lone van across the street.
Yeah.
And then it still takes them like 10 to 15 minutes. And then the whole park is totally surrounded. And from the north, this is the extreme part, because on the March Friday was a interesting march, and I started figuring out some of the ways that the police moved these protests. Because they were doing stuff where they were blocking us in, but they would leave one street like to go, and it was the north one. I remember on the one on Friday. This one on Saturday was the first time I had seen the cops coming from the north side, that they were forcing people to go further south, you know, which was pretty extreme. But I guess it's because they were surrounded the entire park,
right?
You know, which sucked. It, like basically. That the kind of the black bloc tactic or whatever the vandalism whatever you can say about it definitely like destroyed the peaceful protest on Saturday.
So this whole thing about the so-called black bloc, I mean, and this is where I want to get your take on it. You are suspicious. A lot of people who I've talked to who have been around for years, for the last 15 years or 20 years when it comes to protest, are very skeptical about what happened during, you know, in terms of the violence, in terms of the burning police cars, in terms of this so-called black bloc group, which really no one that I know knows, right?
No.
They don't know them. You don't know them. And people I know do not know them. Mm-hmm. So what... I mean, have you talked to other folks and what they feel about what happened during the protest and in terms of suspicious activity when it came to these vandal acts and that
for sure.
That these vandals were actually never really caught? You know?
Well, okay, that's the question, because we don't know who is caught and we don't know what the charges are, because apparently under this Public Protection Act or whatever this emergency powers are that's going on, they don't have to... reveal the charge or whatever. You know, that's why all these numbers are, nobody knows the actual number. I'm hearing I'm hearing a few hundred up to like 900, right? There's nobody actually knows how many. I know there's a huge march going on right now that had just left from the police station that is, you know, the peaceful protesters are out trying to get justice for the people that have been locked up because there definitely was not 900 people in Black Bloc doing this stuff. So a lot of these people weren't, that are locked up right now in this Guantanamo studio, are not Black Bloc. You know, and then, well, I call it Guantanamo studio because that's what Charlie Veach described it as, the guy from the Love Police that told me about it, because he had been detained there on Thursday for not showing his ID. He called it, there's a Guantanamo setup with individual cages on the ground in a huge studio room. Back to your question, though, about these, the Black Bloc, like, people, a lot of people think, and this is my suspicion, too, is that the Black Bloc was, they allowed them to do it, to destroy the stuff. And that's even quoted, I think, from the, in the police, official police words, is that they thought that they're too violent or it's too dangerous, so they let them do the stuff. But then it was also used, the way that it was used was that the whole rest of Saturday, they cracked down hard, and they cracked down even harder on Sunday. That's probably why they were so uptight on Sunday.
Right.
Because of all the stuff that happened Saturday. But it really, you know, it ended the peaceful protest. They definitely made a statement, but I'm not sure, you know, what it'll do except for, you know, the bad publicity of it.
Yeah, no, the special powers that the police have taken, or let's not say the police, let's say the government of Ontario, who's given them this power,
mm-hmm.
because it is the government of Ontario who did do this through the legislature, very quietly, so that no mm-hmm. one knew that it happened. I do believe that their powers are actually still in effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when that law will be rescinded, but I hear that it will be rescinded sometime in early July, like the first week of July or something. I'm not sure if it's over.
Mm-hmm.
So arrests could continue.
That's why I'm nervous about going down to these protests. The one going on today, because I found out about it about an hour ago, but I was like, you know, it would have been a good, interesting protest to go to because they're saying that that Naomi Klein was going to do a speech and... you know, different activists are going to speak about all these people that are still locked up in this film studio, but I'm a bit too nervous now. But the way that they know the Press for Truth guys for sure, and the Press for Truth guys, well, we interviewed them on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and they're doing. I was helping them out with some video stuff, and we were walking back to one of the guys' place who lives close to the fences, and you know, we're passing by groups of cops, and they know. The Dan Dix, the main guy of Press for Truth, they're like saying hi to him.
I know what you mean. Like it's tough to find the right words,
mm-hmm.
but this is why groups are. There's a group calling for a public inquiry. Actually, the Toronto Star is calling for a public inquiry. Their editorial board is calling for a public inquiry because there were too many. There are too many questions left unanswered.
Yeah,
too many exactly. incidents that you know everyone. You know, we're all suspicious as to what happened because these types of things. Let's say a burning police cruiser in Toronto. Mm-hmm. I've been here now in Toronto since 1970. I've never seen one police cruiser burned by anyone ever. No one in their right mind in Toronto would get close to a cop for about 100 meters. Generally, even during peacetime when there's no demonstrations, do we want to be near the police? Because we know they have special powers with or without the government approval. And in this case, we have a burning cruisers. Like these types of things, which we have no answers for because no one's been arrested for the burning of these cars. So mm-hmm. we don't know what's happening. The police don't have to give us any information because mm-hmm. they have these special powers. So this is, what do you think about the call for the public inquiry that's now being done by the Toronto?
I agree that it must be done because, you know, I got a call. I knew the crackdown happened after this because I got a call Saturday night from one of my friends in the Toronto Truth Seekers who is in a wheelchair, who said that they smashed his wheelchair at around 10 p.m. And they arrested another guy in Toronto Truth Seekers for speaking on a megaphone. This is at Queen and Church apparently. So you know, not even that close to the security zone. They were, you know, that's how extreme they got. They got into an extreme crackdown after the Black Bloc was allowed to take off their black stuff because there was a huge pile of black garments in University Avenue or University or Queens Park when they shut down the free speech zone. So I'm sure some of the people were able to get away, but then I know there was people arrested while they were doing that, because there's even videos of the horse trampling you can see of that when they sealed off Queens Park. They were taking it, you know, really far, and that's why I'm a bit nervous about going to more of these protests, because I know they know me, and after I'm posting this one clip that they got that's been seen, you know, by 6,000 people, and I know even the police are watching them too, it sort of makes them look bad if it's and that's why I think a lot of people are giving it the thumbs up sign, is because it's trying to show the truth about how this happened, that the officers are actually sitting in vans across the street.
Yeah. So what's your clip
and
called?
And I'm sure
again?
They were ordered to do that.
For the listeners.
And that's why I'm afraid, yeah, that it cracked down on me, but you can't really be afraid in this
Well, this is why the public inquiry right now is being called by the NDP, the Ontario NDP, and by the Toronto Star. So this is both the media and the provincial legislature are calling for a public inquiry, so that this fear that individuals have, people who are witnesses, people who are victims, and a lot of misunderstanding doesn't have to happen. Because the public inquiry is asking for witnesses and asking for every individual who was affected by what happened during the demonstrations, wants to hear their stories and make this a legal situation, so that no one is intimidated not to speak. No one is intimidated because they were present and because they took video and because they were practicing their civil liberties.
Yeah, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. And my final word is that my take on the whole thing was that it was a psychological operation, you know, Hollywood style. When I see the thing like when I heard about the Guantanamo studio, and then I thought the main purpose of that pendant for hours and hours was to have the media focus on that, and only trying to find out what the major announcement was from the secret G20 meeting, and finding that there was not really no major announcement, I've gotten more convinced that yeah, they were just trying to do a distraction at the end of the meeting, you know, because what really is the G20 agenda? They're going to cut deficit spending in the 2013.
And for the security for that one statement, we paid $1 billion.
All yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay, so now we're coming to the end of the show. Daniel, really want to thank you telling us.
I'm sorry for taking up the
No, no, it's
line,
good.
We got to open it up on Wednesday.
On
too.
Wednesday, we'll open it up again.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Exactly. All right.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks. All right, peace.